Oh, I shouldn't need glasses, should I? Really? And then bought a box, I wonder if they do any good. Psalm 15, let me read it through for you before we begin. David's words himself. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does no slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbour, nor takes up reproach against his friends, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honours those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money to interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. And the verse that we're using today is, Lord, who shall dwell in your tabernacle? Who shall walk uprightly the works of righteousness and speak the truth in his heart, or inhabit the holy hill of God? It's extremely important, I think, for us to understand God's word, what it says. A lot of us read it and go away, I didn't understand it. I don't know how many people I've met that say, well, I'm not going to read the Old Testament. I can't understand it. So we take this verse, Lord, who shall dwell in your tabernacle? Father, we give you thanks because one day we will have the opportunity to stand in your presence and to walk the holy mountain and to join in the tabernacle of God. It's designed and set apart for your church. Pray, O God, that you just minister to us this morning through the word, that you might allow the word to speak deep into our hearts and cause us to hear, to remember, and to abide by. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So David, a long way back, would make this statement, who shall dwell in your tabernacle? Who shall inhabit the holy mountain or walk on the holy mountain? We know this much, that the Christian, the Jewish nation, Israel, will never visit heaven. I don't know if you know history enough, the Jewish nation will never make it to heaven. When they do turn to God after the tribulation, they will be part of when Jesus sets up his millennium reign on earth. So Israel will not, other than those, of course, that are Christians and go there, but there will be no Jewish nation resting in heaven. Outside of that, there is no one else but the Christian church. The Christian church is the bride of Christ. And that bride of Christ will be taken out by God, according to the Bible, according to taking away, or the rapture has been used, to dwell with God for that period of time. And if we've studied again, we will understand that there's a 7-year study there where the church is taken up to be the bride of Christ at the end of the 7 years, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So this morning we want to understand these words that David spoke. Who shall dwell in the tabernacle of God? In other words, who will be there? Who will walk upon God's mountain? We don't know where that is. We know that possibly it will be in and around Jerusalem, but an opportunity to walk there and to be part of the church of Jesus Christ that will be taken into the kingdom of God itself. I don't know that we can comprehend or understand what it would be like to, just as John walked those places, fell on his face before God. And we will one day have that same opportunity to be taken up out of this world that we are now in, along with all the Christians that have down through the years passed away. The Bible clearly tells us in Thessalonians that when that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first. And those that remain, we that remain, will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. Jesus John 14, that Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Don't be distressed. What's wrong? I go away and prepare a place for you. If I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you and I will be with him." He's prepared a place for us. God opens it here right back in the Old Testament and says, who is going to dwell in that holy place? So my question to you is, will you be there? Do you know with absolute certainty that if Jesus were to call you home today, that you will be rejoicing around the throne this evening? It's important to us, walking in life as Christians, to know that God has chosen us because we've accepted him as our Savior, as our Lord. He comes and he cleanses us and asks us to walk before him. He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, they are the ones that will visit the tabernacle of God and walk upon his holy hill. So how do we measure up? Lord, who will dwell there? Who will inhabit that holy hill? He that walks uprightly, or she, works righteousness and speaks the truth in their heart. It's what comes from the inside that matters. It's not what you look like on the outside. It's not what you do around the place. It's what you are. What you are on the inside that matters to God. In Exodus 25, Moses built a tent. I guess if you know anything about history, that Israel went through 40 years out of Egypt till they got to the promised land. And during that time, Moses built a tent, which he called a tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, God rested. He stayed there day and night. And if you read the Bible, by day there was a cloud, and by night there was fire. I could imagine living there at that time with Moses leading. Fancy going out at night and seeing God there, right there in fire. Flame of fire burning over the village. God present with them. And as I went out in the daytime, the sun shone, but there was a cloud. God was there. The thing is that God is here today. Okay, we don't see a cloud, but what we should do is feel his presence. I could ask the question, when you came in today, did you know God was here? Did you know the Holy Spirit was dwelling in this building before you walked in? And he is here today, in our presence. And it's a tremendous experience. The tabernacle is a place of repentance. It's a place of forgiveness. It's a place of reconciliation. And it's a special place with union with God. How close do you live to God? I asked Daphne the other day, I said, do we pray to God or we pray with God? Which is right? To? No one. With? Still no one. We're in real trouble as a church, aren't we? Praying with God. It's a matter of coming, having that secret closet, that place where you can walk into there and be with God. For goodness sake, as a Christian, he dwells on the inside. And Christians today don't even know and don't feel him and don't feel his presence. It's sad, and yet the same day and the same moment we say, Lord, when you come in the rapture, I'm gone. Are we? Do we know that for absolute certainty? Meeting with God, talking with God, having a personal relationship with God. Do you have that? Friends, if we want to be part of the Bride of Christ, a special selection of people from this world that God is going to choose and take out of what are here today, we know that thousands have gone before, but today, from the church across the world, God wants to take out those chosen ones who are walking with God and talking with God and living for God. And if not, do you expect to be gone? I would hate to be in a church when the rapture was and find I was the only one left behind. How would I feel? God says in John 14, God is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and
in you.
In you.
Yeah.
In you. That's the important part. The Spirit of God is living. The Spirit of God is living in you. When Jesus was on earth, he spoke to his disciples, and on several occasions he said, I am with you and in you. I am with you and in you. And to be a Christian today, the Spirit of God must dwell in us, as well as being able to say, I'm a Christian. That doesn't make us a vessel acceptable to God. Israel had fallen into gross sin. They were in a bad way. They just would not listen to God at all. We know on one occasion when God was trying to negotiate with Moses, taking him up to the mountaintop, bringing him down. No, they built a golden calf. So all through this situation that God was trying to reason with them, and the Israel just spoke out and says, we won't listen to you. We want you to talk to Moses. Moses talks to us. And the church is like that today. They're not hearing from God. As Christians, we're not hearing from God. We come to church to hear a sermon. But you don't know whether it's good or bad. But God speaks to us by his Spirit. The tabernacle was a place of repentance. A place where they came to meet their needs, their spiritual needs, meeting on God's terms. It was a place where God came to meet with them in the clouds at the door of the tabernacle. It was a place where Moses talked to God face to face. It was a place where Joshua, and Daphne loves this part of the scriptures, where Joshua, who wasn't allowed in that tabernacle, but went in with Moses, entered the tabernacle, and when Moses came out, all the people went, he's gone, he's finished, but he lingered with God. He took that opportunity to spend that extra time in the presence of God. And I guess in age that we've been in New Guinea and coming home and ministry and opportunities, we learn, well, some of us do anyhow, learn to linger with God, to seek his face, to sometimes just weep before God. To draw near to Him, to have a relationship with God. Do we have a relationship with Him? We're Christians, we come to church, we do the right thing, we sing the good songs, but do we have a relationship with God? You know, if the rapture were to come this morning and we didn't have a relationship with God, I'm not too sure. I couldn't give an answer, but would you be caught up to meet Him in the air? It's a place of forgiveness. The presence of God is a place of forgiveness. I just wonder whether God would bring back the days of Israel where He would come and settle with us with a cloud. We could go out there and say, "Ah, God's here." And at night we could come be comforted because we'd say, "See the fiery ball of God. Yes, He's here." But Jesus said, He can and He will live in you. If only we could understand, if only the Christian church worldwide would understand, you know, I'm sure it would be a different story. The same glory that was revealed to John when he visited heaven. What happened when he walked in? He fell on his face before God. What happened to Isaiah when he met with God? The Bible says that God came to him and took live coals off the altar, placed upon his lips, not to burn him, but to show the presence of God. Jacob fell before God, and he said, "I will not move. I will not move till you touch me. I will not move from here. I will not let go till I feel the touch of God." And so he did. The angel touched him. He paid a price. Bible tells us from that day on he lived. Let him know that God was with him continually. Can God do that today? Not to make you limp, but to come into our life, come into our hearts and mind us, make us, what does the Bible say? A new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new in our life, day by day, living for God, for God. You still with me?
Yeah.
Going very quiet. It's a place of reconciliation, meeting with God. It is a way of life, walking with God. In Psalm 27, the Bible says this, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold and the delight and delight in the Lord and seek Him in His temple." Again, that's David. He just wanted to know God in a special way. Jesus had never died for him. He had nothing to boast about except the presence of God. And he had found it. And he wanted to live there. "One thing I desire of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold and delight in the Lord, and to seek Him in His temple." What a tremendous experience. There's an old hymn. I guess I wrote it down this morning just in case I'd forget. It's by Reverend Aston Mills, and I'm sure you've all heard it. I was going to sing it, but I won't. I don't want to frighten you and scare you out. An old hymn, "I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses." And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Do you know the song?
Yes.
Is a handful. Do you follow it? Can we say that? Can we say that song true from our hearts? That we want it, that he walks with me, talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. The joy that we share as we tarry there, none other can ever know. Paul goes on to say this: I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's another verse of scripture that challenges us, or challenges me, and challenges us, that to be ready and to walk with God, that should he come. And, you know, Jesus in Matthew 24, when he was talking to the people, he said, I will come as a thief in the night when you are not ready. I don't know why he added that. When you're not ready. Because that's our problem, isn't it? That we are not always ready. We do our own thing. God speaks to us in that way, that we need to be ready. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We live in a world that is corrupted by evil. We all know that. Dr. David Reagan, a Christian scholar, said this about the Christian church. This is just recently. The church today is confused, worldly, impregnated with apostasy and cultism. That is a bad reputation, I would think. Dr. Ed Hineson, or the late Dr. Ed Hineson, a chap that we have met and many years ago, he's the author of The King Is Coming Ministries. He calls it this way, the church. He talks of radicalization of Christianity. Every philosophy of man has replaced the teaching of God's word. The church today, great buildings, big crowds, loud music, directed and designed to entertain and influence a fun-seeking young generation without God. And that's perhaps today. I listened yesterday to a couple of the extra-large churches, and I nearly always go straight to the message. So I thought, I've gone, I'll listen to the first part of the service. And I would turn them down as far as it would go. I thought it was virtually off. It's not my scene. You know, we might think that Christianity being widespread, splintered, fragmented, it's big. Churches in America are huge. Thousands of people. I often watch Sunday afternoon, we come to church, we get the message from here, we go home and listen to three or four more sermons. And through the week we like listen to them. But some of them have huge crowds. Huge crowds. And I wonder, wow, must be a lot of people going to be caught up from those churches. But the ministry is saying the same thing. The church has gone down. We're instituting today, I believe, that the Christian leaders of the world today are no longer looking for the Christ coming. They're looking for an antichrist. They're looking for one that can run the world, that can make a whole new system, a new world, a new religion, a new world order. Is that what the future holds for us? I know as I read that a lot of people are wanting to go that way. They're wanting to go that way. Are we really interested in what is happening in our church today, in the world around us? Are we really interested? In Psalm 43, the zeal of David to serve God, he says, "O send out your light and your truth. Let them comfort me. Let them bring me into your holy mountain and to your tabernacle." To come into the presence of God is so important in prayer, friends, that we need that time with God. We now need to have this spiritual input that Jesus has given us to become a Christian, is to tithe in with God. Have a relationship with God, so that rather going to your secret room and talking to God, go to your secret place and talk with God. Find a place where you can talk with God. Come to that place of knowing that Jesus Christ dwells within, knowing that God is here. He came today to be here with us, and we walk away and won't even remember. God does that for us. God wants to bless us. God wants us to learn to dwell in the tabernacle that God has for us. The Bible tells us that he that walks uprightly, he that works righteousness and speaks truth in our heart, in his heart. Or Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." God will never force us to take on anything. He will never force us to listen to him. He will never force us to open our heart to him. John 14 says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, Father and Son, will come unto him, make our abode with him and in him or her." He comes to be with us and to dwell with us, walk with us, be with us wherever we go. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Our relationship with God is your choice. Your opportunity to go into his parlor or into your secret closet and pray with him, your choice. To go and meet him face to face, okay, not literally, but to feel the presence of God and to know that he dwells within and that you can talk with God. Not to him. How do you know what he's saying if you're not talking to him? How do you know he's there? If he's there, you might as well talk to him. Talk with him. That God might talk to us. My prayer is today that we might see God come into our midst, into our church, that we might walk with God. Talk with God. And find that God will walk with us and talk with us in a very special and wonderful way, making us ready for that moment when Jesus says, "Come up yonder and be with him." There's nothing before, nothing afterward. Just one day he will call his church out. Will you go with him? Will you be there? Father, we give you thanks for your word. We want to, above all else today, to be ready. We want to stand in your tabernacle. We want to pray to God. We want to be with him. We want to walk into his place and rejoice and be glad to be with you. And Father, we pray that you'll give us a purpose and a desire within our hearts, within our lives, to walk with God, to talk with God, and to discover the reality of God with us and in us, day by day, hour by hour. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess we can stand, as Tony would ask us to do. We got a song or something?
We can sing that song, you
know. Okay, yeah, we'll sing that song. How many know? I know the first verse. You got a rip on that.
I come to the garden of hope, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the sound of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we travel again, another as ever known.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.